Doing thyself harm. We have spoken upon doing thyself harm on another occasion. And there are many ways in which one can do themselves harm. One might just very well accidentally trip and fall, and we know what results if we don't catch ourselves before we hit the ground. There are those who harm themselves for various reasons and in different ways. Some who inadvertently harm themselves perhaps by the things that they put into their bodies. And sometimes the outcome of that is not seen for many, many years. The field is so broad that we need to narrow it down as we're talking about doing ourselves harm, perhaps even becomes a series. But this morning we want to talk about doing ourselves harm by seeking happiness from the wrong sources. All want to be happy. All want to have a happy existence. I've actually heard people say, why can't I just be happy? Well, wanting to be happy is the first step in that. But oftentimes people seek happiness from the wrong sources, and in so doing, do themselves harm. Our text this morning is Malachi chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. We know that Malachi was written to God's people Israel. Oftentimes they sought happiness from wrong sources, and oftentimes, or every time in doing so, they did themselves harm. In that particular reading, we find, ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, this is true as you look out upon this wicked world in which we live. We see a lot of people getting ahead. A lot of people who are wicked, and they're seeking happiness. And in so doing, they're getting ahead, and we think, how unfair. Well, the Bible is full of scriptures indicating that one cannot secure true happiness, true satisfaction, or true lasting peace from what the world has to offer. To cement that in our minds, perhaps we ought to look at a few scriptures so that we can see that the Bible just doesn't mention it once. It mentions it several times. The first of which is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This passage has been used many times in many different sermons, and always to point out that what is most important is not the world and the things that are in the world, but the things that are of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It sounds to me like one who is seeking the things of the world, or the world itself, is seeking happiness in the wrong places or from the wrong sources, and thus doing themselves harm. We oftentimes wonder about that. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, this passage is used many times to point out what true religion or pure religion is. But notice, if you will, part of pure religion is not just visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The latter part of it tells us that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We cannot seek happiness from the world's sources. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, we find support for this particular idea, because we are told there in that same book, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? God's people cannot embrace the world and the things of the world and expect to find happiness. If indeed we do this, we become an enemy of God or separated from God. And it tells us there in the latter part of it, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can isolate ourselves to the point that we don't come in contact with anyone of the world. We live in this world. But we have a responsibility toward God not to allow the world to draw us away from God. That was the idea that the Spirit gave the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In fact, he gave him the very words that we find written there so that we might understand that we're not to embrace the world, we're not to love the world, we're not to seek happiness from the world. That's not to say that there are not happy things within the world. There are some things that happen in this world that make us very happy. To see the beauty of God in a rainbow, it makes me happy. But as we read Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we can find how that it is brought to our attention so that we know not to embrace the world. It says there, and be not conformed to this world. You ever poured liquid into an odd-shaped vessel? It's interesting how that liquid, being more pliable than the vessel itself, will form to the size of the vessel. We have to be stronger than the world. We cannot be in the world, or we cannot be of the world. And he tells us there, it's not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's also equally interesting that if you take water and pour it into an odd-shaped vessel, it will shape just like the vessel. But if you put ice, which is still water, into a vessel, it will not transform exactly to that vessel because it has been transformed by the freezing process. This is what the Roman brethren were being told there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And why? So that they could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is he saying? He said, don't seek happiness out there in the world. It's the wrong source. Or we might even go back further than that. How about when Jesus was here on the earth? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, we find Jesus comparing the things that are in the world to the true source of happiness. He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or he asked a question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is so surprising sometimes what people will give in exchange for their soul. Just a little happiness, just a little comfort, just a little friendliness with the world. Why? Because they're seeking happiness from the wrong sources, and in so doing, they are doing themselves harm. As we look also to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we'll see that God has given us instructions, not just do not do this or do not do that, or love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We will see there, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In other words, he gave his word so that we would know the true source of happiness. He didn't want us to do harm to ourselves by seeking it elsewhere. And what does it teach us? Well, it says teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, the same thing that we've been talking about, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is possible, but we've got to seek happiness from the right source. If not, we're going to be doing ourselves harm. And while we are living righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, we're to be looking for that present or that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to come back again. And when he comes, he's going to receive those that are his. And those who have harmed themselves by seeking happiness from the wrong sources will not be accepted of him. As we're looking to the Bible to see that the world and the things of the world are not the sources, let us go see the case of a man who had everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. We know this is speaking of Solomon, one who was given the opportunity to have anything that he wanted. Asked for wisdom. Because he didn't ask for riches, because he didn't ask for wealth, God gave him these as well. But notice what he was directed to write here in this particular portion of the Word of God. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. It sounds a little bit like the world, doesn't it? I planted these things. I grew these things. Look what I have done. I'm seeking happiness. He said, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted then trees in them and all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions, great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. What was he seeking? Happiness. Where was he seeking it? In all of the things that he could produce with his hands, with his labor, with his effort. In verse 8 we see, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and the provinces. There are people today that will tell you, you need to buy gold. Why? If you buy that gold and you put it in a safe and you let it sit there, it's not worth anything. It's not going to bring you any happiness. Who was it? Midas had the golden touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. Didn't make him happy. But we're talking about a real person here. He gathered gold and silver, peculiar treasures of the kings and the provinces. He got, I get me men singers and women singers, and the delight of sons of men is musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. That which he had asked God for, he still had. But was he happy? Obviously not. Because he sought more and more and more. Verse 10 says, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion in all my labor. Seeking happiness from the wrong sources, and you do yourself harm. Verse 11 says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It's interesting to me, if you look up the list of the richest men in the world, it will list people that have died and gone on. But Solomon's never on that list. In fact, he should be the head of that list, because he was greater in riches than any the world had ever seen or ever will see. But it didn't bring him happiness. That was not the source of happiness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, he was directed by the Spirit to write some words that would help us to understand the things of this world do not bring us happiness. They are the wrong source, and they will do us harm. He said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You want to see the truth of that matter? You look at somebody who places their importance upon the things that they've got, and all they want to do is focus upon getting more. What are they seeking? They're not seeking to do themselves harm, but they're doing themselves harm because they're seeking happiness. Oftentimes people say, well, don't you think I ought to be happy? I think everybody ought to be happy. Where's your happiness? There's where it boils down to what's important. What is it that makes you happy? If it's the things of this world, they're not going to do anything for you. These are also vanity. Verse 11 says of chapter 5, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? What are they doing? They're sitting around looking, oh, look what I got. I'm happy. Are they? No, they've done themselves harm. That's why Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2 tells us, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You can't take it with you. It's not going to do you any good. It doesn't matter how much you have while you're here on this earth, you cannot take it with you. And while you're here, you might be able to do some good with it. You might derive a little bit of happiness because of what you have. But if you're seeking happiness from that as a source, you're not going to find it. Because, as is the case with all of humanity, you're going to cease living. And when you cease living, it will no longer be yours. That same passage, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2, if you read the entirety of it, says treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. No, that doesn't mean that we're not going to physically die. We are. It's talking about spiritual death. You might also look to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. Again, we find so much information here that tells us how that we ought not to seek happiness in the wrong place or from the wrong sources. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. If you could box wisdom, package it pretty, and you could offer it to people. But if you work 40 hours, I'll give you this little box of wisdom. And on the other hand, you could have this box of gold. 11 times out of 10, people are going to say, I'll take the gold. Because they're seeking happiness from the wrong sources. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. We've got to look for the right source. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. We see an admonition there. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. People a lot of times don't realize how quickly they can go from being wealthy, from being well off, to being satisfied with what they have, to being in a case of want. Consider, if you will, the rich man who buys a huge condo in Miami. Now, why in the world anybody want to buy anything in Miami? I have no idea. I'm just using that as an example. Got nothing against Miami. Been there once. Actually, twice. First and last time. That's beside the point. The man, rich, he worked all of his life. He buys this big condo in Miami. He sinks everything that he's got into this condo in Miami, and it is top of the line. It has got all the bells and whistles. It is fantastic. That very year could be the year that we have the hurricane of hurricanes and wipe it out. How quickly it flies away. It's sad but true that most people spend their time seeking things which do not count for much after all, while they pass up those things which are truly satisfying and enduring. People are going about looking for sources for happiness, and they're ignoring the things which are truly satisfying, the things which are enduring, the things which will last. Now, we have no quarrel with people who are prosperous, people who are thrifty. But think about the tragedy that we find in Luke chapter 12. The man who thought that his material things of life were the most important. Looking at this stuff, he's got all this stuff. He has these barns. He tears down barns. He builds new barns. He fills those barns. And he says, look at me. I've got it made. That's not what God said. God called him a fool. Why? Because he thought only of himself. And he thought only of the things which would satisfy his earthly desires. I say to my soul, soul, thou hast need of nothing. Take thine ease. Happiness does not lie in material things. He did himself harm by counting too strongly on the products of his farm and limiting his plans for continuing to work the land the Lord was letting him use. He did himself harm by seeking happiness from the wrong source. The Bible is very clear in telling us that true happiness can be found. So let's take just a few moments and look at some of the scriptures which support this point. We can be happy by refraining from the things we know to be wrong. How many of us have ever done something and we knew it was wrong? We knew it was wrong before we did it. We knew it was wrong when we did it. We knew it was wrong after we did it. Did you feel happy? No. Look at Romans chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. What about doing something that you didn't really know? You weren't really sure. You doubted whether or not it was right to do or wrong to do. Some there were allowing themselves to eat meats which they thought were committed to idols. They were convinced they were doing wrong. In so doing, they were living and acting in doubt. And to allow yourself to do that which is doubtful is wrong. When in doubt, don't. It's wrong for this one that doubted to eat the meat because he could not do it by faith. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. Again, it's talking about the meat. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We can be happy, but if we want to be happy, one of the places we can start is by refraining from the things which we know to be wrong. Just don't do it. You know, this great principle is violated daily by people who do such things as drinking alcoholic beverages. I've talked to people who have struggled with that. People say, well, I know it's not good for you, but I do it. Yeah, perhaps, what about people that use the name of the Lord in vain? We had an employee one time that we were sitting around and he came walking across the building there and somebody said, who wants to take a bet on how many words he will say before he uses the Lord's name in vain? Well, why would you bet on something like that? But that guy hit it right dead on the head. He won't say four words before he took the Lord's name in vain. Well, I interrupted the conversation. Did you know what you just said? What? Do you know what you just did? And somebody said, well, he doesn't even realize he's saying that. There's a lot of things that we know to be wrong that if we didn't do, we'd be a lot happier. How about seeking happiness by keeping our trust in the Lord? There are those who are undergoing procedures and tests. And sometimes you'll hear the expression, I've just turned it over to the Lord, but I sure am worried about it. Well, did you turn it over or didn't you? We are to trust in the Lord. I'll guarantee you it will make us happy. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. It tells us that's how to be happy. That's how we can not do ourselves harm by seeking happiness from the wrong sources. He that handles the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You want to be happy? Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 again says the same thing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then it tells us, so that we can't miss it, lean not unto thine own understanding. Too many people are leaning upon their own understanding. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, we'll see that David, the youth, came out to not see the army, but he came to deliver provisions to his brethren and find out how they were doing. This giant was challenging the armies of Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, we can see how much trust that David had in the Lord. He was very happy. He was willing to stand up against this giant when the armies shook in their boots or whatever it is they wore on their feet. What did he say? He said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul, the king, the warrior, says to this young lad, go, and the Lord be with thee. Who trusted in the Lord? Why, David did. In fact, he called out to Goliath and said, this day the fowls of the air will feast upon thee. He trusted truly in the Lord. To trust in the Lord is to put everything into His hands and believe that all will be well. But don't forget, God has done His part. Stop and think about it. He's provided absolutely everything that we need for salvation. He's provided absolutely everything that we need in order to be happy. Why aren't we happy? Because we're doing ourselves harm for seeking happiness in the wrong places. It's up to us to do our part. The person that can truly do this can be happy. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are all these things? Everything that we need will be provided for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, we find Paul being directed to charge Timothy relative to those that are rich in this world. Again, there's nothing wrong with being well off. There's nothing wrong with being financially secure or comfortable. But he was told, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's where your happiness is. To seek happiness from any other source is to do thyself harm. Another way that we can be happy is by doing what we know we should do. We already covered about us doing something we know we should not do. But what about when we do something we know we should do? Well, John chapter 13 and verse 17 tells us we can be happy because of that. Are you happy because you've done what you should do? He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. James chapter 4 and verse 17 also addresses this. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me ask you this question. As you go through life, you have a choice as to what to do. And you know to do one particular thing is good, it's proper, it's right, and you don't do it. Are you happy? Now contrast that with how you feel when you do it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we find the passage written to those Galatians brethren that applies even today to us. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. If we know it is good to do something, we should do it. We should never avenge ourselves. Romans chapter 12 verses 19 through 21 tells us. As the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those brethren, he said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And you say, well, you know, these people get by through life. They're not going to get by after this life. The vengeance of God is going to be upon them. The wrath of God is going to be shown to them. And so what are we to do? He says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That is a source of happiness. We know we should all give liberally of our means, but some grow weary and careless about even this duty. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 is a principle. It gives us principles that we should remember. It reads, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm not saying that you can buy your way into heaven. You can't. You can't give your way into heaven. You can't outgive God. God's given everything. He gave us His only begotten Son. But why would this cause us happiness? I once listened to an evangelist on TV. And he pointed out that God's people should give till it hurts. I thought, well, that's odd. And the point he was trying to make was that it needs to be sacrificial giving. I think a person ought to give till it feels good, because it's sacrificial giving. You know, it's interesting that some people will spend generously for almost anything they want, but they will not do so for their religion. But you know that new boat? Boy, that will make me happy. Boy, Saturday on the lake, that will make me happy. This house down here in the mountains, I could be real happy out there. Are we not happy here? Are we not happy serving God? Are we doing ourselves harm by seeking happiness in the wrong places or in the wrong ways? We can be happy by being fully prepared from day to day to give an account of our faith. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 2, we see the Apostle Paul, as he was many times, having to defend himself. Why? Because he preached the Word of God. But notice the words that were given to him to pen, or given to Luke to pen, regarding Paul. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee. About what? Touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. What was he ready to do? He was ready to give a defense. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He was ready to give an answer. We are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. That in and of and by ourselves, by itself, should make us happy. But we're also to be ready to give always an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you, in meekness and in fear. You know, Peter and John, when threatened with continued imprisonment in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, had a response provided for them, an excellent response. All the words of the Spirit are excellent, but this one, it really fit the situation just as it should, so as you make those people think. It says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What were they doing? They were seeking happiness in the proper source. A little further on in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we find out that the threat of imprisonment affected them. How did it affect them? Well, we find there, in daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach or teach and preach Jesus Christ. They knew what would bring happiness. Happiness, satisfaction, peace of mind. All of this will come when the Christian delights in drawing strength from the proper sources. Those sources are not riches or fame or position or worldly praises. They won't do it. Fleeting moments of happiness. It's all that provides. Stop and think about it. What's longer? The span of time that we spend in these bodies, in this life, on this earth, seeking happiness, or eternity? Would you rather be happy here and punished for eternity? You're doing yourself harm if you're seeking happiness from the wrong sources. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1, we find the psalmist directed to write there, God is our refuge and strength, a very present time, or very present help in trouble. In the latter part of Psalms 27:1 shows the proper source of strength. The psalmist there was directed to write, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Folks, happiness is available today. But if you seek it from the wrong sources, you're doing yourself harm. If you seek it from the proper source, true happiness is there waiting for you. I would be remiss this morning if I were to let you get out of here without telling you about that true happiness and where it begins. The Bible is very clear as to how a person becomes a child of God, and if they're seeking happiness through God and are willing and desirous to do what God would have do, they want to know this. One is to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of their sins, turning away from that life of sin, turning toward God, Acts 17:30. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And then they are to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then to be baptized into Christ, Mark 16:16. Having done that, to maintain that happiness and to work toward eternal happiness, one is to remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Perhaps there are some here today that have not done these things. The truth of the matter is that you're not really happy. Perhaps there are those who have done these things, but then they've allowed themselves to deviate from seeking happiness by searching for it through the world and the things of the world. Know that if you've done these things, you've separated yourself from God, and you need to return to Him in repentance and prayer. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we have an account of this, in which one who had become a child of God sought riches, happiness, or whatever it was he was seeking, and because of this separated between him and God. He sinned. If there is sin in your life and you need to return to God, you can do it today through repentance and prayer. He was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. I want you to leave here happy today, but I want you to find that happiness in the right source. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we sing the selected song.